conversation, there has to be the Word and the Spirit, because if you just have the Word, it's going to be dry, and if you just have the Spirit, it's just going to be a lot of hype. And then what about the unbelievers that are sitting in your congregation, and they just see a bunch of people jumping around and shouting? I mean, how is that going to help them? I mean, that's okay. That comes along with it, but you have to have the Word. The Word is what's going to keep you. The emotional part of it is just a response of the truth of God's Word inside of you.
Okay. Anyone else? One thing that I will put in here is not anywhere in notes or anything, but worship, the worship that you do in your private time as well as your public time, in service, in studies, in so on and so forth, all that brings more of a lifestyle that pleases God, which in turn, you have the favor of God upon your life even more. But worship brings growth, stability, as well as maturity. And through our worship, it's important to realize that when we talk about being in the presence of God, how do we get into the presence of God? By our worship, our praise, our thanksgiving. Our worship ushers us into His presence. And that's what we have to do. We have to be the ones to initiate it, because God already gave us instructions in spirit and in truth. I think a lot about our worship being, you know, the God bumps, the goosebumps, whatever, or thinking, you heard me say about the one pastor at the Church of God, he had to speak in tongues, had to give a message, had to give an interpretation of a message every time that we got together. You know how old that got and how quick it got old? There's no substance. I'm one for allowing God opportunity and time, but I'm like Sister Henderson was. If the man of God doesn't have anything to say, let's shut up and go home. Which is true. Why do we need to carry on and do this, that, and the other? But that's when we can take our liberty in our worship, in true worship. Don't forget about, it's good to be in the Spirit, but it's also in spirit and in truth. What's truth? The Word of God. Amen. Does anybody else have anything that they want to say? Got plenty of time. All right. Turn with me to 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 14. I don't know what it is the last month and a half, or maybe 2 months, I've done a lot of preaching and teaching, talking about King David. But this is another scripture. 2 Samuel 6:14. Then David danced before the Lord with all his might. And David was wearing a linen ephod. Now remember, David was the king of Israel at this time. And he had it going on up in his head. But David also had it going on in his heart too, his emotion. He danced with all his might. One thing that we got to remember is if you're worried about what someone's going to think about you, you're not worshiping God in truth. Because God is supposed to be first. What does joy stand for? Jesus, others, and yourself is the correct order. But understand, David danced with all his might. And as smart and as brilliant as David was, David loved the Lord with all his heart. Why do you think God could say that David was the apple of his eye? Even after doing all the dumb, stupid things that David did. But time and time again, I wish I had a dollar for every time that I heard the words, well, God knows my heart. That's the sad part. He does know your heart. So if there's any thing in there that needs to be taken care of, I want to be able to worship God in spirit and in truth. David sure wasn't hindered by what others thought of him. And we should be that too. Because if you love to worship and are not worshiping, that is not truth. Because the Word tells us to do that. If you know how to worship and are hindered by what you think other people are thinking, that is not the truth. And the last thing there, truth worships because it has determined to put God before and above anything or anyone else in the world, and especially in your life. God becomes number one, no one else. When you think about worshiping God in spirit and in truth, truth is just as important as having in the spirit, because we can get lost, I know, sometimes in what the Spirit of God is doing. But as long as we are worshiping God in truth, according to what the Word of God says, according to our understanding, and that's why it's important for us as Christians to know that 6 months down the road, we should see a difference in our lives, in our growth, in our maturing, in our progress with the Lord. And until the day we die, we still must worship God according to the Word. What does the Bible say? Make a joyful noise, all you people. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Doesn't say if things are going well or spectacular, great for you, then you can worship, then we can praise Him. Just the opposite. No matter, it could be your worst day ever. We must worship God. John chapter 4, verse 23 and 24, which is the technical scripture that undergirds in spirit and in truth, in the sincerity that you can put forth. If you are ashamed and or embarrassed, you'll never enter into the true worship. How true that is. For you see, true worship requires sincerity, genuineness, and honesty. True worship does not care who is watching or what others think. Because if they're watching, they're not in the spirit or even standing in the truth whatsoever. Because true worship is not just connected to your heart, it is also connected to the head, which means your understanding. The heart knows what the head needs, and the head knows what the heart needs. That's why you can say in spirit and in truth. So helpful to know that our spirit man, our head, and our heart is connected together in true worship. True worship touches the heart of God. True worship invites His presence into your midst and evokes the power and the anointing. In other words, that's the grounds for miracles to transpire and to take place. Amen. We here at LPA want that power and anointing in our services. Because like I said, if the power and the anointing isn't present, we might as well just go home. First drop your tithes off, then you can go home. But I'm so thankful that we have a church that understands, that knows we're not interested in being a church that does not desperately seek after Him and His anointing. When you stop and think, we must understand that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Where does joy come from? First and foremost, it comes from our heads as well as our hearts. We worship God in spirit and in truth. Listen to this warning. When God is not welcomed, He does not show up through our worship. Remember this very important reality of His presence and power of His Spirit. When God is involved in our services, That's when he can save. When God is allowed into our services, he is also able to heal. When God is involved in our service, he has an ample opportunity to deliver. Deliver us from what? Whatever you need. Because most of the time, it's usually stuck up here. Something's blocking the progression of the Spirit of God. When God's power and presence, his Spirit is involved in our worship, he can set the captives free. He can set all things free. And of course, he does whatever needs to be done. Amen. Whatever needs to be done. In the book of Psalms, chapter 150, I remember when we first got involved in church and got saved, when we started our journey, the choruses was popular at that time. We didn't have, you know, the blessing, which is the title of a song, 6-7 minutes worth. We've got some long songs now. But I started out and I led worship, and everything started coming around or getting back to me. Well, why do we have to sing the choruses so much, so often? Well, the well needed primed. If we would come into the sanctuary with thanksgiving upon our lips, in our heart, worship would be so much easier. Why do we have to sing a song, then Sister Karen, then another song? Why do we have to sing three at the end of our worship? Because usually, that's how many it takes to get people going in worship. Psalm 150 says, praise the Lord, praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty firmament. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the lute and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with the stringed instruments and flutes. Praise him with the loud cymbals. Praise him with the clashing cymbals. How great God is. If it wasn't for God, where would we be? If it wasn't for Jesus Christ paying the price, where would we be? If we didn't have the Holy Ghost working on us, working in us, working through us, where would we be? There's 7 words for praise here. Number 1, yada, to revere or worship with extended hands. There's reasons why we lift up our hands, why we clap. We always carry those musical instruments with us. Halal, to shine, to make a show, to boast, to rave, to commend, glory. Tehillah means to sing a hymn or of praise. Thank God that we have the hymns still. Zamar, to make music, to praise with song, and music, sing forth praises. I'm not sure. Toda. I guess you can pronounce it the way you want to. Worship and adoration with extension of hands, especially a choir of worshipers. You got to remember that what was taking place before Israel went to battle. You had the worshipers that led the battle. Shabbat, to praise with a loud voice. Anesis, if that's correct, the act of praising God, an offering of praise. Remember these words of praise. We lift up holy hands without wrath and without doubting. Worship gives us that freedom. Psalms 149, 1 through 9. Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song in his praise in the assemblies of saints. Let Israel rejoice in their Maker. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their King. Let them praise his name with the dance. Let them sing praises to him with the timbrel and harp. For the Lord takes pleasure in his people. He will beautify the humble with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud on their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their mouth, to execute vengeance on the nations and punishments of on the peoples, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute on them the written judgment. This honor have all his saints. Praise the Lord. In Isaiah chapter 61, 1 through 3, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. One thing that we must realize as children of God, the importance of this particular scripture. This is not talking to the priesthood, or in today's church, the clergy. This scripture speaks to each and every one of us, because I'm called to preach the gospel, and so are you. And the gospel is broken down into the scripture here in Isaiah 61 quite well. Sister Pratt, when she testified, she reiterated again to us the simple truth of God. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon. One day he's going to split the eastern sky, and we are so much closer today than we were even yesterday. And the last thing there, you can wear the garment of praise or the spirit of heaviness. I choose the garment of praise. Amen. It's your choice. And I can always share a little. I wish I could remember who it was, but can't do that to give him credit. But it was somebody in one of our meetings, camp meetings, prayer conference, whatever, is this gentleman said, every morning in the shower, he chose whether he was going to have a good day or a bad day. Didn't matter what happened to him throughout the day. When he chose to have that good day, he had the good day. And that's what our praise and our worship is all about as well. We must have the sincerity of heart. We must wholeheartedly give everything we got. I will close with a question. If you can't praise here, why in the world do you want to go to heaven? Because you know what we'll be doing? We'll be praising and worshiping Jesus for eternity. Does anybody have any comments or questions? Sister Trish, you got 10 minutes.
Well, I'll try to keep my thoughts in order then. I was thinking a couple of things just in that last couple of seconds. I don't know if you guys remember, but the very first Sunday that we sang Dancing on the Grave,
uh-huh.
I can't remember what the reason was, but there was something wrong with the lights in the building, or maybe it was the power. It was like half the building was out and half the building was on. There was something weird about it, but it was really dark in here, at any rate. It was half dark. And people stepped out and moved and jumped around and did all kinds of stuff, and then a couple of weeks later, the lights are on and nobody's moving. And I remember thinking to myself, wait, what happened? And then I thought, well, is it just that now, like, that one day they knew people couldn't really see them as well, or they weren't as worried about it? And I thought, how do we get past worrying about what everybody else is thinking? I don't know how to get past that, or how to help people past that, I guess. It's not something I think about very much. The only time that I consider that is if, like, there was one time when the Lord told me, go and lay on the altar. And I was like, okay, but I'm wearing a skirt, Lord, so. And he was like, yeah, I know what you have on. And I told you what I wanted you to do. And I was like, okay. So, like, things like that jump in my head. Like, well, wait, how am I going to do that in a skirt and not draw too much attention to myself? But I guess that's not something that's bothered me much. And so I don't know how to get past that, or how to teach people past that, I guess. And I'm wondering if that's what people tell you. If you ever ask them, why don't you ever, you know, whatever, is that what they tell you, or is there something else that they tell you? Because sometimes I feel like if you can give a problem a name, then you can start speaking against it. You know what I mean? Like, if you have a pain and you don't know what it is, but you find out it's cancer, then you can start cursing cancer. If we knew, is it self-consciousness? Is it whatever? Like, what's the thing that's told to you most often, and what name could we give it?
Usually they look at you and don't say anything. It's, for instance, another thing would be, why can't everybody pray out loud? That's something that has just drove me crazy. Right. And if they would just get used to, accustomed to praying out loud, it'd be so much better. Because when we come into church, when everybody prays, and I can even see the ones that normally do pray out loud, sometimes they're affected, intimidated, you might say. But I don't know how you could try to come against that. Because that's like, you heard me say and share, Dancing on the Graves. Lindell Cooley, the leader at that time, he just stopped worship because people weren't. He said, at least tap your toe or move your leg. You know, just move something. You know, that's the least that we could do. That's true. If God drops something in your spirit, let me know. Does anybody have any comments or questions? You guys were just so astute tonight.